Let's work on our own neshamas tonight, our own souls. All right, great idea to work on our neshamas, to work on our souls. Well, we still, it's actually, I don't know, give you guys, somebody just told me they went to a funeral today. Like, they told me the person, I was like shocked, you know, like somebody, yeah, I don't want to say a name, but somebody from somebody from San Jose, actually, Jewish lady. Yeah, life is short, so you gotta take advantage of it. And really, life is good, so you gotta take advantage of it. Life has a lot of opportunities, so you take advantage of it. And we mentioned last week, you know, that we're talking about vigilance, about zahiris, about being careful not to get caught up doing the wrong things, missing the boats, living an incorrect pattern in life. We said that the best way, the high road, the highest way for a Jew to be successful and being on the derech, being living the way they're supposed to, is it should bother a person if you're not. Because shleimus, perfection, being close to Hashem, that's the best thing in the world. And if something's important to you, right, you know, if it's meaningful for you, then when you're not there, it will bother you. I mentioned, let's say, in whether it's marriage, whether it's your job, whether it's things that are important, when you're not doing it, you feel it acutely that this is not the way it's supposed to be. So now he's going to talk about the second level of contemplation, how a person gets to zahiris, gets to what, to vigilance. Ach lepchusim eila, but for those that are on a lesser level, those are the first group. Tehei teyeh ha'ara lefihav chanasam, that their inspiration has to come according to their level of understanding. Vuhu lefi ina kavod asher hem misavim lo. Every person wants honor. Hey, you want, if you don't care about outside honor, you want to be honored. I can tell you for my kids. You know, they want my honor. It's very, by the way, very important for a parent to give a child honor. Woo, kids need cover from parents. They need approval. Even the ones that are macho or pretend like they don't know it. Every child yearns for honor from their parent. Every spouse yearns from honor from their spouse. That's, and every parent, by the way, wants a connection to the child. That's a different thing. It's not honor, right? Everyone, you know, it bothers us. You know, it bothers us when we don't get the honor we feel we deserve. It bothers people. Recently, I had a grown adult, I mean, person, you know, no youngster, tell me he's upset that his parent doesn't appreciate him. A parent, I think, they don't have a bad relationship, by the way. But this person, who's in their 50s, told me they're upset because their parent doesn't appreciate, and they have a good relationship, but they feel like underappreciated by their parent. And why they feel underappreciated? Not because the parent, they have a certain aspect of life which they worked on, and the parent doesn't acknowledge that aspect. So it bothers the person. So imagine the following thing, right? When you get to Shemayim, if you're a nobody, you're low on the scale. You know, you have back row seats, way down. You don't enjoy it. You're not viewed as a person who could have been, right? You don't get the honor because they're partial eight sabahadas. In the world to come, in the true world, the eternal world. You know what that means, eternal? You know, anyone know what Rav Dessler says what eternity is? You ever see his mushel? So Rav Dessler is describing what eternity is in one of his works. I haven't seen it for a while, but I'll tell you be'erech, approximately, just to appreciate what eternity is. Imagine a pile of sand. A pile of sand. And I grew up in Miami Beach. And there's sand, you know, there's sand there. There's beaches there. Now, I haven't seen those beaches in a long time in the daytime. I was a little boy, but I've seen them at night safe, right? There's huge beaches. No, I mean, not a beach, right? I mean, I grew up a few blocks away from there. In Israel, they call Netanya, like the Miami or Tel Aviv. Right? My age is like, it's unbelievable, by the way, because my age is where I am, which is a very Orthodox area. But you go not too far away, you're by the beaches, there's sand. So imagine you have a pile of sand 100 feet high and 50 feet wide. And sand, you know how much sand is in a little pile? A lot of sand, okay? And imagine the following thing. You have a pile of sand 100 feet high, 50 feet wide. How many trillions, you know, of things, how many trillions times square of sand is that? That's a lot. No, Mr. Stolen. A lot of sand? You agree? That's a yes? It's a Russian yes.
Duh.
Okay. So you have, now imagine the following thing. Once every 70 years, a bird comes and takes away one little grain of sand. Once every 70 years, a bird takes one grain of that. 70. Takes one grain of sand and takes away. How long would that take that pile 100 feet wide, 100 feet tall, 50 feet wide? You can't even imagine. It takes one every 70 years. So Rav Dessler says that is nothing compared to infinity, because that still has a number. Right? You talk about the world to come, you can't even imagine how long eternity is. You ponder what that means. You know, things that if you're sick for a day, or somebody slights you for a moment, you know, it bothers you for a minute. Now the world to come is a long time. It's a long time. That huge pile, once every 70 years, takes one grain of sand away. It's nothing compared to eternity. And in that eternal world, people will be determined, you know, what their house will look in that eternal world based on what they did in this world. Based on what you did here and now. After 120 years, it's too late. Maybe your kids could do something for you. Grandchildren could do something for you. But that's it. It's too late. So says Ramchal, Zahiris, you think about it, in the world of truth, it's different. It's dependent on Elofim Aysim, what you did. The people who will be on the higher levels there, people who stood out to their deeds and actions. And if you didn't fulfill your action, now by the way, it's subjective. Right? Everyone's dependent upon what we could have done, what we should have done. Well, if you didn't do it, now don't judge people who didn't come tonight, by the way. Just because you'll get some old habah for coming here tonight for learning. Don't judge them who didn't come. There's probably good reasons, right? They may have been doing other mitzvahs. They may have been sick. They may have forgotten. I mean, you know, whatever. They may be getting ready for the dinner, right? Maybe they're cooking for the halyuns when they come for Shabbos. Who knows? Right? Right? But really, right? We're based on what we do. When you think about that, right? If you think about it, if you don't daven mincha today, and you could have daven mincha, or you didn't do shacharis, or when Shabbos comes, you didn't take it seriously, or you walk outside, you're not careful about how you dress, or you scream at somebody, it's going to affect that world to come. It's not a joke. Of course you get a tshuva, but it affects it. It's going to affect who you are, you know? Eventually, it'll be too late. So says the Ramchal, if the ideal is the high road, the higher is to want perfection. You should want to be, think of marriage, you should want a great marriage. Right? Why? Because marriage is important, you want a great marriage. The lower it is, if you don't care about your marriage, your spouse is going to hit you in your head, you're going to feel it. it's gonna bother you, and just to get away the body, right? That's the low road. The low road is, you know what? Higher is doing Torah mitzvahs because it makes you shalom. If you don't daven, you feel you're not as close to Hashem. your relationship to Hashem is affected. If you don't give charity, if you're not nice, if you're, you know, it bothers you. You know, you lose something. If a day goes by, you didn't do chesed, you didn't do an act of kindness. Actually, you know, I think about this person who died today. I'm not that like, close, I just know this person. I was like shocked. The person passed away. Not out of this community, but someone I know who they are. And, you know, and I was thinking to myself, like, you know, there. I have these conversations. Like, people tell me, you know, if I thought this person would live forever and I should have done this, I could have helped them more, should have been nicer to them. You know, like, you lose opportunities. You know, like, people aren't here forever. You know, yeah, life goes very quickly. Yeah, life is very short. And by the way, it's only, you know, I think of my kids, you know. I enjoy the. There's still some, I have very little ones, the ones are bigger. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, like, in a few years from now, they're out of my house. You know, that's radical. Like, I have my chance now for my kids. Like, and, you know, okay, they'll come visit, you know. Right? But it's different. You know, there are opportunities. Now are the chances. Right? You know, you know, if somebody, I said this to Shulton on a very different time. I said, you have an excellent scholar residence of Shabbos. I said, don't miss the boat. You know, it's not here next Shabbos. You either take advantage or you don't. If things don't stay around forever, right? You know, there are the greatest mistakes people make are waiting and imagining. In a year from now, or in 2 years from now, or in this, and many, very often, the charity opportunity, the stuck opportunity, the chance to daven, the chance to help a person, you know, before it's too late, you know, before it's lost. So, and you know why? Because if you, the higher it is to do it because it's right, because it makes you closer to Hashem, because it's the right thing to do. But if you don't think, if you're not on that level where you can appreciate that, no one thing, it may be the low road, but it's true, is that you will live for eternity based on how you act. Says the Ramchal, think about that once in a while, right? If you can't be motivated to sing, have an enjoyable Shabbos meal, and not to go to sleep Friday night, or to daven, or to go to the shir, which will inspire you, or to help a person, or to visit the sick, or to go to the funeral, whatever it may be, you can't do it because it's the right thing to do. It do it because you're gonna. It's gonna be a reality, right? I can tell you one thing. You know, even if you don't waste your time and see stupidity on the internet, which damages your soul, it doesn't give you zero, zilch. Right? If you read a website, if it's part of your job, or it gives you some news to tell me the daven for with it to an extent. Or something like that. There's, you know, there's some amount you need. I mean, you need to live in the world. You need to know who the president is, and you know what he said today. Not too much. You need to know about that. But you know, like, you know, you need to know. You need to know the latest and greatest in the world. Just to live in the world, you have to. You can't be a caveman or cave lady. But you need. But after that, like, what do you do with your time in life? I mean, social media. If anyone thinks that they're going to get Olam Haba for social media, they're living in La La Land. Someone told us a movie like that.
It's called.
Let's stop saying that. You know, if they'll think it all, their heads will go somewhere else. Not that anyone would have seen that thing, because you'll get an Olam Haba for watching that. But you know, you're living in Never Never Land. Wow, we have like Hatzala over here for a coffee. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, so on a very serious note, just think about if you're not motivated to do the right thing. You know, I imagine the funny thing. You're upset at your husband. I'm going to protect husbands tonight. You know, you're upset your husband forgot something, right? I'm telling you one thing. My wife is very good at this, you know. Certain things I'm very laid back about, super laid back. Certain things like I suppose with my kids, you know, I'll like, if they spill something and they're not careful, I'll say, why are you careful? Like, why are you careful? So I always says to me, like, when they get older, they're not going to do that. She's right. And I have to tell them not to do that, but to, you know, why are you careful? You know, and at the end of the day, you know, So let's say, why should I do that? Because it's the right thing. If it's not a good idea, don't do it. But at the least, think of what you're doing to the relationship. You know, if you can't, let's say your husband messes up. I'm just giving an example. So you can scream at him. So if by screaming at him, you will ruin your perfection. You will become a lesser person. You'll be less shalom. Now you may want to have a conversation. You may want to talk. But screaming, I saw this more than once. You know, people scream at their parents. You know, their parents get elderly. Elderly people, you know, are hard of hearing. And they go slow and they repeat things. Mom, I told you don't do that. You know, I grew up in South Florida. I mean, I can't, you know, you go down, it used to be in South Beach. Now that they got taken over by Europe. So now they're in like Delray Beach and Boca and Douglas Gardens in Miami. Mom! Like they would scream. I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm not talking because they need to hear, but they're irritated. You know what it is to be irritated at your parents who's 85 or 90 or 90 years old? You know how low that is of a child? Do you think my wife, because I see it now with my few-week-old baby, screams at the baby? What? Are you waking up 3 in the morning? Wouldn't that be a lowly of my wife? She doesn't do anything like that. I mean, I may have to do that if I'd wake up 3 in the morning, but she's a tzaddikus. I mean, like, I'm serious, though. Would she do, what? I mean, how? What, doesn't that ruin you as a person? Doesn't take you away from Hashem to be acting, you know, cruel or harsh or screaming at your loved ones? Right? But if that doesn't do it, well, then you should realize that it's going to affect your world to come. It'll affect you this world because it will damage your relationship to an extent. Right? And even, by the way, whether it's the baby or the mother who's 90 years old, it affects relationship. Even if they can't recompense because you look at them negatively. You get when you scream at a person, when you're mean to a person, whether it's your mother, it's your child, it's your spouse, it damages your viewpoint of them. What about a mitzvah? Why do I have to do this mitzvah? Why? Right? You don't think that negativity rubs off in your appreciation of something? Of course it does. Of course it does. Shabbos is, you know, it's hard for me. Davening, blah, 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 blah. Right? Of course it does. So if you can't do the high road that, you know, really, davening, unbelievable how much I love to daven. It makes me a better person. I connect to Hashem. Do it because if you don't daven, you know, let me just tell you something. This is not a joke, by the way. All of us in this room, without exception, had certain things decreed on Yom Kippur. And some of those things may not happen if we don't daven during the year. And some of those things may even be spiritual. You know what happens? You were supposed to be close with Hashem. We didn't daven for it. And so for the rest of your life in this world, there's a reality for that. And not only in this world, it will affect the world to come. So if you can't motivate yourself because you want to daven and be close to Hashem, you should motivate yourself because you may be less of a person in the real world. You may not get that job in this world. Right? You wanted the job! You wanted the parnasa. You wanted the children to get married. You wanted to have children. You wanted to get married. You wanted to move a new house. You wanted to be healthy. No, it's not to be healthy. It's hard if you're not healthy. It's not so easy. You didn't dive in for it, and it didn't happen. I don't want to put your husband out of the business. You got to go to doctors, but you also got to daven. Right? You got to daven. You know, the best medicine is preventative. You know, the Gemara says you should daven before you're sick. You need much more merits. You need much more merits to daven after you're sick. But before you're sick, preventative medicine is the best medicine, right? Nope. Does Dr. Leon say that?
What do you say?
Better not to get cancer than to get cancer, take it away. For sure, right? So you better don't sit in the sun. I remember once told me you gotta put on sunblock. See, I'm dark skinned, so he's always worried about me. My in Miami, I'm just commenting on my skin. It's not a joke. You don't daven, it's gonna affect your world to come. You say brachas quickly. If you're not motivated to bench from a bencher, Birkas Hamazon, and thank God for your food because it's the right thing to do because you appreciate it. Know one thing. If you don't, without exaggeration, you'll be less for it for eternity. I'm saying strongly. I know this is heavy-duty medicine tonight. I'm just, you know, he gets to the easy medicine, like the rah-rah. I know we all like rah-rah. We like all the cheery stuff. I'm with you. I like cheery stuff also. You know, but it's important to once in a while to have a little bit of heavy dose of medication. He's telling the facts. If you can't motivate yourself for the right reasons, think about the realities. You know, if you're in the office, you have a job. Jobs demand performance, right? Jobs demand performance, right? My daughter Sima is taking tennis lessons. So, my wife told me she was exhausted. She takes like once or twice a week. I don't know if she's doing it. It's just like to get all her energy. There's a lady teacher that's learning tennis lessons. So my wife said that every time she misses the ball, she has to run around the court. She said she came back exhausted. She must have missed a lot of balls, you know. So I said, maybe she speaks to the teacher. I said, Robertson, you never played in competitive sports. Now, I played competitive sports when I was younger, you know. That's what you do. That's how you become a player. You think, how are you going to become a good tennis player? But you missed the ball. Yeah, you missed the ball. That's how it happens. You know, I am not condoning this, but when I played basketball in my youth, my coach took a ball a few times and threw it at my head, like a baseball, right? Like a baseball. And he was African American, and he was not weak. And he threw that ball like a pitcher at my face. He meant it out of love to educate me how to play basketball. But you know, I mean, I don't condone that or recommend that, to be honest. But the point is if you're not pushed in sports, which is a very unimportant thing in life, but for the fact you get exercise out of it, you know, then you're not going to get anywhere. Well, in life, there are consequences. There are consequences. There are realities. So if you dive in this morning with a little kavana, you got something. If you dive with more kavana, you got more. If you said Birkas Hamazon, you got this. If you said, when your husband came in tonight, he said, hello, darling. You did well. And if you said, hello, darling, can I help you? You did even better. But if you said, how was the day? Could you help me in a minute, this minute? Right? Hey, no one actually asked the husband, oh, first say, hello, darling, how was the day? Now could you please help me? My wife's very good at that. Once in a while, I come in and just kids hanging on the chandeliers, and it's like she doesn't even say, "Yeah, I have time to say it." I go help. No, I'm not serious. But the point is, it's not a joke. How you greet somebody, Shalom Aleichem. Hey, Shalom Aleichem. That's a different greeting. Like, girls don't say Shalom Aleichem. We're girls. How do girls say hello to people? Hi. Like, oh, I missed you. You know, it's hard to do like with men. You can say Shalom Aleichem. You give a warm welcome. The lady, it's like a hug and kiss. I think. No, that's the man. Am I correct? A warm hello. It's different than saying a cold hello. It's not the same. So how you do things are realities to it. So says the Ramchal, if you're not motivated to do the things for the right thing, realize that if you don't do it, there's going to be a consequence. And how you do it, you're going to be graded on it. There's consequences. Good employees get promotions. Bad employees don't get promotions. Bad employees sometimes don't even get hired again, or get fired, right? So there are consequences to what we do, says the Ramchal. And know that these consequences, remember that pile of sand, 100 feet high, 50 feet wide, a birdie coming once every 7 years, taking one grain of sand. Oh, it's a long time those consequences are going to be out there. And then he says, he's going to say, Vinay, there are people, Yeshma Psayim, there are foolish people. Hamavakshim Rak Lahakalim. I hear this, by the way, routinely, regularly, often. Often I hear this. What do they say? I don't want to be so religious. Or I don't need to do this. I'm happy to be low in the world to come. You know, I don't need to be this. You know, this is who I am. And they say, I'm just Sham Lamanigat, so I don't have to push so hard to be chassidus, appreciates piety, abstinence. I don't want to be a Rasha. I don't want to be wicked. Right? But I'm happy to have a little place, a little spot in the world to come. I don't be a Rasha judge in Gehenna, but I don't have to push to the top of Gan Eden. If I don't have a big portion of the world to come, I'm satisfied with a small portion. You ever heard such people talk that way? If you didn't, you have to become a rabbi. You'll hear it all the time. They may not say those words, but they say that line. They say that's what you ask when you push people for to do more. That's how they think. I'm telling you, that's how they think. That's not always how they think. That's partially how they think. You know, they're satisfied. They're satisfied. We won't work so hard. Rabbi, I come to shul once a week. I'm happy doing that. Rabbi, I'm a Yom Kippur Jew. I fast in Yom Kippur. I don't need to be so religious. I don't need to do so much. I have one question for such individuals. Hayuchu kol kach anichlis b'lomazeh hachilif. Liras echa mechavim. To see one of your friends, I'm not your friends, who you could have been better than. Now, if you're the person who was clearly ahead of you, you're not going to bother you. But you know that you have more talent. Let's say whatever your talent is, right? So Mrs. Fagan's a musician. If I beat you in music, you would be mortified. Trust me. I can't sing. I can't play it. I can't play an instrument. So if we're in a concert and they have a competition, I beat you, you should be mortified. I won't beat you. Don't worry. I'm not. Don't get nervous. But if someone's talented and somebody's not, well, the talented person should be bothered, you know, if somebody beats them, and that we are bothered when you feel. Imagine you have a very smart kid and a kid who's, you know, very mediocre. And the mediocre kid gets the 100, and the smart kid gets a 60. Well, the smart kid, he could be happy with the mediocre, but he's bothered that he got the 60. He should be, by the way. If you have potential, you don't use it, you should be bothered. Right? If you could be a great athlete, or a great singer, or a great mind, and you don't do that, it will bother you if someone's not it. You know, one of the things that bothers siblings, you know, sibling rivalry, which I spoke about recently, about this in passing, is, you know, by Ephraim and Menashe, is that each kid always thinks of the special kid. At some level, it's intrinsic. Besides wanting appreciation from parent, people are unique, and they want to be respected for their uniqueness. When a parent, if you're in a house, and the parent showers love to one kid, and not to the other, that's a cute pain. Right? By the way, even going back when they had polygamy, sorry ladies, once upon a time it was men had some, a very small percent, but there were men. One of the major problems was that no matter what you did, one wife would always feel slighted. And I don't understand, because I don't live in that world, how that could have ever existed, right? But quite frankly, I mean, it was impossible, because each one feels they're unique. What about me? What about me? By the way, one of the reasons why the internet is so addictive with people commenting and social media is because you get your moment in fame. It's your Facebook page. Everyone's looking at your Facebook. And you get to comment on politics and the blogs, and you put your name, and you can have checks, what are they called?
Likes.
5,000 likes. Woo! You know, people like have their whole identities by this. It's the great equalizer. Like, you know, you can have for the life of me, I don't know how. I mean, I know how, but these Twitter people, they write in like quarter sentences and have millions of followers. You know, went to pizza today. Boom! So now Twitter, it's craziness, isn't it? You know, but people feel God. They want to. She says to the Rav Chal, you think you want to have a small portion of the world to come? If you're the guy at work, I'm telling you how this works, because the guy works for Intel, and he doesn't get the promotion. The guy lower than him gets the promotion. You bet. Even the quiet guy at Intel, this still guy, it bothers him to the core. Why did he get the bonus and not me? that guy got the bonus. I didn't get the bonus. And if the guy below you, your person who works for you, he's put on top of you, he bosses you around, it really bothers you. Why? If he's better than you, maybe you could understand. But if he's not better than you, you should have been there. That was my job. That was my opportunity. Why is he on the pedestal? Right? See how people do in this world when they feel they could have had something. When their servants are ahead of them. The people that they look down on are way above them. Are ahead of them. They'll be bothered. They're bothered. How did this happen? Why? People, again, a certain person, they're type A personalities, people who need to be ahead, but any personality, everyone, even the person who, if they feel that they lost out what they should have, they should have got the promotion, they should have got the raise, they should have had this thing happen to them. You know, I've had parents, why did my child tell this one first? I should have known before anyone else. You know? I'm the parent. They feel, why do they, you know, like, if you feel something coming to you, you don't get it. It bothers a person to no end. This is for eternity. You're going to see people ahead of you for eternity. You're going to have your little place, and that person who is way below you is going to be way high. And you'll be looking at their toenails, right, in the world to come. You don't think that's going to bother, that bothers people in this world. You're living in fairy tale land. Right, if you don't think so, you're being delusional. If you're not thinking, says the Ramchal. Ki kinas ish mereo, v'mira chaver mesom ish v'shafol. And if you see a friend elevate while you remain lowly, v'adai ma shiyis boho ma shiyichroch l'savu kil yuchol nolach v'adis ashtu kibbo. It will bother you to some extent, even the world to come. Me'ata in kashel aleim liyashvalim mezulas v'masam adumas v'kozes. If in this world, whether it's promotion or this, which or even honor, which is temporary. If in this world, if this kid in the class, you know, if you have a kid in school, and by the way, it's a very, again, parents, teachers have, you know, very important roles to play in how these kids' self-image in children. Self-image is very important for all of us. But you have a kid, I mean, it doesn't make a difference if they're quiet or outgoing. That child feels not appreciated, it will hurt them. It will damage them. It will, and especially if they feel, you know, one thing I try is my kids come to their projects. Like, I'm telling you, my shift, I can barely say, she's 100 miles an hour. She's so excited, I can barely understand what she's saying. She thinks I'm project out, like, paper, like, I'm trying to figure out the picture, I'm, like, looking at it, like, what is it? Oh, it's so nice! And she's so excited. I mean, literally, I should be so excited about things in my life. It's, like, so unbelievable. Like, so excited! You know? She's, like, screaming, like, Right? You know? Imagine, I mean, Khalila, it hurts me if I would ignore her. I'd be ignored. So welcome. Ignored. That's not so nice. You feel bad. You know, we all need to feel recognized for who we are. Well, if we know that we're a great person, I'm a good person. We're good people. Why am I here? Why has this happened? And you realize it's because your own reality, your own decisions, your own picks. You'll be bothered. Don't say you'll be happy with a small person in the world. I mean, that in this world you wouldn't be happy, and you won't be happy in the next world. Now, if a person tries, and God puts us, success in this world is false. It doesn't make a difference, you know, what bothers us in this world is when we feel we could have done more. But really, success in this world, it's so temporary. It doesn't make a difference if you drive a Civic, or a Corvette, or a Rolls Royce at the end of the day. Right? It doesn't make a difference. If you just get to one place, that's all you need to do. Right? It's not gonna, you know. But in the real world, it really. If it bothers, things bother us in this world. You can imagine when that as that eternal world, that one grain going for eternity, how bothered it that when people say, I don't need to do this, or I don't really don't care about having this, what they're really saying is they haven't really thought it through. They haven't thought it through? Because if you really think it through, I'm talking about believers, by the way. You know, if you deal with the agnostic, it's a different conversation. They first have to be banged in their head that there's a God in the world who's going to, they don't have to think about what eternity is. But there are plenty of believers. You know, I don't want to pick on Sephardim. See, because Sephardim are good. Ashkenazim, if they're not religious, they're not religious. Sephardim has something called Mesorti. Mesorti. So they, I like candles Friday night, you know, or I do this. And a lot of them have a lot of emunah. By the way, Sephardim, emunah, you go to the Kotel, someone told me when a girl that by the Kotel, this lady was crying her head off and davening, like, you know, and she was wearing, you know, she wasn't so tzinnias. But by Sephardim, you see it, they have emunah, which is good. It's a big start. It's a big start. It's a huge start. But emunah, you gotta keep Shabbos. You gotta say brachas. You gotta daven mincha. You can't walk around sleeveless. You gotta be tznua. Emunah is not enough. And for your children, it's not enough, especially. You know, you gotta have tachlis. Yeah, at the end of the day, it has to translate. Now it's a huge start. So you talk to Sephardi guys or ladies. You know, you believe in Hashem. Ani mamin b'kadosh baruch hu. The guy has two earrings. He's telling me this. You know, his hair is like spiked. Ani mamin HaKadosh Baruch Hu po! Po! You know, I mean, Ashkenazi, some Russian guy, some, you know, cynical Russian would never talk like that. Even religious Russians don't talk like that, by the way. Nothing, I like Russians. They have other pluses, right? But, you know, you're the only Russian tonight. Miss Julia's not here. You know, you think I've never heard Russians speak like that. Oh, actually, wait a second. Sorry, I missed you over there. You're hiding, right? If the Russians talk, I believe in Russia. You ever see a Russian? Come on, honestly. Could you ever imagine that?
Oh my God.
Never. No, it doesn't. They're too, you know, reserved, scientific. They don't have. But as far as I'm telling you,
they're emotional.
They believe and they do that. The guy is having two earrings. And some of them can even have a non-Jewish friend. I'm not talking about boyfriends, you know. And they talk like that. And, you know, I believe. So you say, oh, you believe. Let's think, why aren't you keeping Shabbat? How come last time I saw you was Yom Kippur? You know, and they don't have answers, but I don't want to be so kitsoni. You start talking to them. You know, it's they're living in a fantasy world. You believe? Do you really believe? Well, let's take your belief to the next discussion then. If you believe in Hashem, what are you in this world for? What's going to make a difference, right? That's real belief. Real belief is to think of consequences. So it's very easy. I believe it's again. I think that's great. I think we all should have that. But that is not the litmus test of whether you serve Hashem or not. This is Hashem is when you ate this morning. Did you wash your hands? Did you say a bracha? Did you bench? Did you feel that? Because you know what? That's what God wants, right? Did you daven shacharis? Right? When you saw a person, were you nice? You know, were you friendly? Did you cheat in your taxes or were you honest? Right? Did you do chesed? Did you visit a sick person? You saw someone sad. Did you stop to say, how are you? Are you okay? Can I help you? No, that's really, you know, there's an individual who was very not well. A person called me multiple times every day. I mean, for this week, I've been calling nonsensical messages. I mean, like, crazy messages, like, could I please speak to this? And if I would tell you the content of these messages, like, off the charts, you know? And I, of course, call the person back at times. I mean, like, literally, my machine keeps stopping because the message is going on. The messages are for minutes. I mean, like, momish, like, and they're delusional, like, literally delusional without any, you know, and the person's a very nice person who has... I should probably block this number because I must be getting calls and it's like nonstop. The person's not on their medication right now. You know, they're in a certain institution and they're just like leaving these long, absolutely off the charts messages. But like, I wasn't a real serious thing. I said, like, you know, if a person feels better, they call me. I call them back. I talk to them. You know, I can't talk to them all day long. But, you know, they're people. You know, I just could care about myself and say, you know, at the end of the day, you know, and I'm not saying I'm perfect at this, but, you know, it's being, you know, that's really, you know, what it's not, do I believe? You believe and then you cheat, and then you have a guy, your girlfriend. I mean, that's believing in Hashem. You don't believe in Hashem. You believe in Hashem, you would not cheat in business. You believe in Hashem. So for us, when you think about it, and for them, and for all people, right? It's what are you doing? What are you doing? Right? Is this? Yeah. I will say, by the way, if a person believes in Hashem like that, or that's the starting point. If you could do that and channel this in, you're sky high. You're very lucky, you know, to have that. Because then you can really uplift. You know, you could really fly high. So for whoever a person is, and by Ashkenazim, it's different. Ashkenazim, it's like literally, you speak to a person, so complicated, so pasha complicated. Like, you know, everything has to be proved every 2 minutes if they prove a different thing. It's like, I once had an Ashkenazi guy come to me, said he wants to believe in Hashem. He has one problem. He can't, the age of the world bothers him. So I said, how long have you been bothered by the age of the world? For like, it's only like 6 years. 6 years you've been trying to figure out the, and I said, and have you been like doing anything? No, I'm still trying to figure this out. I said, you idiot! You shaita! 6 years of it, you waste your whole life. You know, you can have a question. Does everything else make sense to you? Could you explain how science? No, I don't think it all works. Just this thing, you know? Everything is so darn complicated. Everything is a cheshbon, you know? Do you believe in Hashem? Yeah, I believe in Hashem. What are you wasting your life for? You know, I was dealing with someone who was dating someone. They wanted to date for like 5 years. I said, like, what are you crazy? I'm not sure. And every time I said something else I'm not sure about. You know, I said, you could have 5 kids by now. By your age, I have 5 kids. Like, what are you waiting for? You know, you're going to waste your... Do you like the person? Is this person nice? Do you appreciate them? Right? Do you appreciate them? Yeah. So why don't you get married? Marry the person, right? Are you really doubtful? Yeah, that's how we are. Like, you know, I'm saying people who are Ashkenazi, and it's like, we all know Shabbos. So invest in Shabbos. Give yourself to Shabbos. What are you holding back from Shabbos? Benching. It's like, bench! Bench like the bench! You know? Bench! Bench, you know, yeah, thank Hashem. Don't be so darn complicated. You know? Put your heart into it. You know, put your heart into it. It's you know, and what happens now is I'm okay benching this one. You're okay? Yeah, you're okay being down here in this world and other things. Guess what? How you do in your things will affect you in eternity. In eternity. Forever. Shabbin Akshay Markinos of Erkam, right? Even though now a person cannot appreciate what it means to do Torah and mitzvahs correctly, Akin LeYehushua, they don't really appreciate, they don't really think about it. They don't think, what's the big deal? Not so bad. I'm okay. Mr. Shabbaton. Life goes on. Right? I'm going to send this to your husband for tomorrow. Okay. But when it comes real, it's going to bother us. You know, it's going to bother a person. You know, it's going to really bother a person. It's going to be eternal. People who tolerate taking it easy, relaxing. I'm not so into it. I don't have to be so careful. I'm not talking, there's some people who actually have nervous anxiety. I'm talking normal people. People who have no reason. This Weltanschauung, worldview of I don't have to do this. Or it's not so important. Or I'm not so religious. not so religious is not a Torah concept. It's not a Torah concept. There's no such thing. The other concept is, I'm not there today. It's okay. Everyone starts at different places in life. You can be less observant today, right? Some people to become that took them a long time. They came from irreligious homes, or they didn't have the opportunity. But there's no such thing as that's who I am. That is not my Torah. I don't know where that comes from. I do know where it comes from. That's not Torah. If you're not that today, you sometime in the future you have to be that. That's what you have to get to. It's not like I am this and I'll stay this way. You know, I'm a Jew. I'm a Yom Kippur Jew, or this Jew. I mean, that's absent us. But I still remember this guy told me he benches once a week. You bench once a week? Would you eat once a week? I mean, like, what does that mean? You bench? What did you say? Birkat HaMazon once a week? What does that mean? I do it on Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos. Great Kavod Shabbos. So I said, you know, maybe work your way there. You know, try to do it. Maybe take you 5 years. I don't care. But you can't say that's who you are. That's not a Torah concept. That's the rabbi. This is what I do. I think the end all. You know, like the stop. Please. That's it. I mean, that's it. You're not hurting me. You're not hurting me. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting Hashem either, by the way. Hashem doesn't need any of our mitzvahs. Hey, you're hurting ourselves. Who are you hurting? Who are we hurting? Hurting our family, by the way, because we get more close to them. But we're hurting ourselves. Elipitoi kazem shemafat yisram. This false seduction, which the Yitzhar says, that I'm not so religious, I don't have to do this, I'm happy to have a small world to come, or leave me alone, or, you know, this is who I am, I do this what I do, this is what I am, this is, you know, this is not a Jewish idea. But it's the same thing to me, this, it's not okay to say I'm an angry person. In my house, every my kids are moody, I always say, don't be a grumpy Gamal. I think they had this book, it was Grumpy Gamal. Anyone read a bit of Grumpy Gamal? Can I read the books in my house? I read the story to my kids when younger about Grumpy the Gamal, the grumpy camel. I don't want to be a grumpy Gamal. You know, walk around a grumpy person. If you're grumpy, you got to work on yourself. You know, one of my kids said to me the other day, he was upset, and, you know, my kids would never hear this, oh my goodness. Right? You know, he said, one of my kids said, you know, there is upset. Oh, I'm upset. I said, what are you going to be upset if it's with me? You're upset. Keep it to yourself. You know, you're upset. You're upset, good for you. What does this have to do with me? You know, you're upset, you better work on that. You can't be an anxious person your whole life, a sad person your whole life. You gotta work on it. Listen, some people have predilections that way. We all have that, by the way. We all have certain, all of us in this room has some tendency, either to sadness, to anxiety, to anger, to whatever. Maybe we all have something like that, but you gotta work on it. You live the rest of your life being sad or anxious or angry, you gotta work on it.
You know, I grew up in Israel, and I grew up with people, they came from concentration camp. You know, in Pesach, we go to the store, we buy matzah. He asked for bread. I mean, and he come, and they're coming from concentration camp.
Yeah.
How are you going to explain when he's so mad and he coming?
For me, it's not sure. So this is very important. I'm happy you asked that question, Mrs. Bianca. One thing I will say is we never judge other people.
No, that's why.
There's only one judge of people.
That's
Hashem. Right? We can learn from people. Yeah. We can learn from people. We can live vicariously. Yeah. You can learn rights and wrongs of people. We don't ever judge.
Exactly.
So anyone, and especially we never judge anyone who went through the Holocaust, because we can never even begin to imagine what these people went through. Such people to even think what they went through, it boggles the mind. So our duty is to do what's right and to work on ourselves while doing that. This person, you can't help people who won't help themselves. I'm not judging this person, you know, but I know this very well. Like, you know, I'll tell you, my goal as a Rav, when I speak, I'll try to speak things to inspire people, but I can't choose for people. Somebody comes to me, I can advise people, and then if somebody's open, I can encourage them, but I can't help people who don't help themselves. Now, I've seen people make decisions, which are poor decisions. They don't ask me, So I don't offer my opinion. Now, sometimes I'm very close to a person, and I'll tell them, I don't think this is a good idea. And again, I'm not always right, but it's more advice than more wisdom. But, you know, if a person doesn't want to hear it, so if a Holocaust survivor, you're not going to be able to, especially in a story, you have no relationship to the person. And the person was traumatized. And I don't think I'd perhaps be, perhaps who knows, any of us, who knows? You know, I would hope, but who knows? God forbid, we should never experience what these people did. But for yourself, you got to do what's right. And we got to work on ourselves to do that. And that's the whole point here. You know, you got to work on ourselves. I am a grandchild of four Holocaust survivors. you know, which gave me a lot of pluses in life. Also negatives to it. You know, there's certain anxieties that come to it. But I'm not going to blame the Holocaust forever. Actually, I heard a great thing. I was bored. You know, whenever I need to, like, doing something, sometimes I put, like, background music, or I have, I'm learning, but I just wanted to tune out the outside world. So, like, music playing, whatever. So I was listening to the speech, and it rolled into, I don't know if you heard this lady ever. It is K.J. Rowling. Okay.
J.K.
She wrote something called Harry, the
Potter.
Harry and the Hat something, whatever it is. So, you heard of this lady? I'm shocked. Anyways, this ended up on my computer. She was giving a commencement speech at a second tier university, not Penn, but Harvard. Okay, and it was unbelievable. But I love this. She was a great speaker, actually. She said, actually, she caught my attention. I actually listened. For, like, I was like, usually I'm not even paying attention. But when she said this, you know, I loved it. She said her parents, she was majoring in English literature, and her parents very much pushed her against it because they were poor, and they didn't think she would be able to make a career out of it. Okay? And she said, but her passion was English literature, so she wanted to be a writer. She did the classics. And, you know, and she didn't end up poor, apparently, for a few years. This very poor, she said. And eventually, in her poverty, you know, I don't know if you know, everyone knows this K.J. Rowling's story. She wrote a book, and these books, apparently, there are a few people that read these books, and she made a lot of money, okay? So she said, you know, she said that her parents really try to push her out of this, her passion and her natural talents. In her career, because they're worried about poverty. And she said that, of course, they're right at some level, because they should be aware that they were poor. They knew. She said a great line. She said, only fools fantasize about poverty or think it's a good thing. Poverty is a terrible reality. To live when you don't know how you're going to pay your next bill is not a good thing, right? It's just not a good reality to have that kind of reality. But she said that ultimately her parents were wrong, and she's happy that she lived that. She says, but I don't blame my parents. She says there's an expiration date for blaming your parents. And that expiration date for blaming your parents is the day you learn how to drive. You can't sit and blame your parents forever. She said a lot better because I wasn't really fully paying attention to her speech. But she had a great line. There's an expiration date for blame of parents, right? And, you know, you can't sit there the rest of your life, well, my mother screams, so I scream. My father was a Holocaust survivor, so what do you want from me? I mean, you gotta use that and move on. You gotta take your skills and move on with. So he says, right, if you think you'll be okay by being a grumpy gamal the rest of your life, you're making a terrible mistake. You're gonna be judged in Shemaim as a grumpy gamal forever. Being a grumpy gamal because you never worked on yourself. If you never bench, there's a reality towards that. And why do people do this? Because they don't realize how important their actions are. And they're going to sit there and waste it. They're going to waste their opportunities until it's too late. And then it's going to be too late. The opportunity is gone. Right? It's too late. Now is the time. Now is the opportunity. You know, if you're, you know, again, you know, I think of my own kids. You know, my kids are in the house now. They're not going to be there in 20 years from now. Well, maybe not. You know, who knows? These kids won't be there for 20 years, right? You know, right? And that parent that you have, people aren't here forever. That friend, nothing's forever. that Shabbaton, it's not here next week. Right? You know? It's not, things aren't here forever. That's not, everything you get is forever. Right? You have Achanas Tosef for Torah coming up, it's a big occasion. You're going to dance at that? Or there's not Achanas Tosef for Torah. The last time there was Achanas Tosef for Torah was 20 years ago in the shul. You either come and you dance, or you'll miss the boat. I mean, you know, somebody, you know, but you'll miss the boat. I'm going to pick up next week with this, so which we'll finish up on this topic. And, you know, actually, I'll try to finish it. We have a few minutes?
Yeah.
I'm going to finish. Then next week, we'll do the third level, how a person gets to being watchful and vigilant over their actions. He's going to embellish on this point now. Kol asher timsa is a verse, a pasuk in Koheles. Kol asher timsa yadcha la'aseisa b'koicha asa. Whatever you're able to do with your ability, do. Ki emaisa v'cheshma v'das v'chachma b'shol asher talah shalma. Because there is neither action, nor reckoning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you are going. Now is your chance. Now is your opportunity. If you don't do it now, you have strength and ability. Right? This is the ability which God not only gives the opportunity, He commands us to do. You have to do certain things in this world. Right? Either you do them or you don't do them. What happens if you don't pay taxes for 2016? You want to find out? Don't find out. Jail, fines, right? You don't have a choice. If you live in this country, you pay taxes, right? And if you cheat on the taxes, then you go to jail, right? You know, it's not a choice. You live in the country. What happens if you drive on the highway and you drive 100 miles an hour? Well, you may die. And if you don't die, you will get a ticket one day. Right? Or you'll get into an accident and be a paraplegic because you're driving 100 miles an hour and the impact is going to be tremendous. Right? So there's consequences to actions. And you have certain commands you have to do. You got to follow certain things in life. You know, what happens if you have garbage in your backyard and you don't bring it to the front yard? Anything good happen? The garbage collection in the backyard. Garbage guys aren't coming back there to collect the garbage. You either put it out there or it doesn't get collected. There's realities. There's many things you can't do in the grave or in the abyss. It's no longer you have the opportunity anymore. You don't do it now, right? If you don't take advantage of your parents, your children, your spouse, your friends, the Shabbaton. Oh, no, seriously, Torah and mitzvahs, it's not going to be here. Now is a chance. You know, you do the tzedakah now, it's there. It's not there, you know. You bought that extra, you know, J phone, whatever it is. You didn't need it. You had one last year. What do you need this year? What do you think? What are you missing out upon? What are you missing out? You could have given to something good. Right? That phone's... You think you got any scar in the world to come from a different phone? You think that's going to help you? You have the new brand of car. Again, a phone and a car all could be good mediums. But you don't understand what I'm saying. It's not going to get you the world to come. You gave charity, that's going to get you to the world to come. It's going to help you in this world. You daven, that's going to get you to the world to come. It's going to give you this world. But you didn't daven. You missed the day. It's gone. Days don't come back. You know? Days don't come back. You know, if you're sad today, you were angry today, if you're bitter today, if you're going to pick them all today, you lost a day. It's a loss. Mishlo chishav cheshver myself. The person doesn't think of their actions. Look at the zman lachashvaz. It's too late, you know? You get fired from the job, you lost your job. Boss, I want my job back. Not there anymore. You had your chance. You had your opportunity. You know? Anyone ever go dating? Like, you know, you come on a date, you're rude. No, I'm not... you know, maybe someone gives you a second chance, but, you know, date's over. You know? That's a reality. You know, you did certain things. The person's not around to say sorry to anymore. There are certain ways to do tshuva, but the positivity is not there. You know, positivity is not there. I told someone once, I said, you have a relationship with somebody, you don't want to talk to them, you're going to regret it. To regret it, you're going to regret it. It's not things don't always come back. The actions. In the world to come, you're not going to have time to worry about your benching or about your davening. Or did you sing Zemiras on Shabbos? Or did you say, how was your day, darling? No, if you tell your husband, how was your day, darling? That's great. If you call your parent and you say, I love you, mom, I love you, dad. For no reason. I just want to tell you that I love you. Great thing to do. I'm telling you, I get hugs from my kids. My kid call me up in the middle of the day and say, I love you, Dad. I'd be thrilled. Thrilled. You know? I mean, who wouldn't want that? Why wouldn't you want to take the opportunity? I wonder if they not become wise in this world. He won't become wise in the world to come. This is what Shlomo Melech says. There's no either action. You can't do the actions anymore. Mitzvahs are for here and now. Good deeds are for here and now. Nor reckoning, nor fixing things, or building things, or helping things. Nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you're going. Says the Ramchal. But there's a high road. Right? The high road is to realize perfection in this world, the importance of the deed, doing it for the right reason. But there's also, I wouldn't call it a low road, there's reality. We'll get to the low road next week. I don't think a low road actually is a good word. There's reality. The reality is our deeds have consequences. Our deeds, and don't fool ourselves, says Ramchal. Don't say I don't care because you do care. And to the extent the person can say they don't care means they haven't thought it through well enough. Right? If Hashem is here, then you'll care. And if you're going too slow, you better care, because it's just like in the real world, there's realities, and the world of truth, there's realities. And those realities go for a long time. Sometimes, actually, even a person who has the high road need the reality world, because all of us have days where we forget. And in those days we forget, we have to remember that a little effort goes a long way for a very long time. Next week, we'll pick up with way number 3 to motivate us to do the most we can with our deeds and actions. Thank you.